Jesus announced and enacted in history the new reality of God's surprising activity. These two stories demonstrate this new reality. Women and children are accepted and valued, not dismissed as inferior to adult men. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Now people were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from the one who embraces you and blesses you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson for this morning touches a place that is a bit raw, a bit painful, a place that has caused many suffering. Divorce is something that affects nearly everyone in some capacity. Maybe you yourself have gone through a divorce or have contemplated divorce. Perhaps someone close to you in your family has gone through divorce, or somebody, a loved one, a friend. Divorce is something that is all around us. Statistics speak point towards the increasing rate of divorce amongst Americans. So divorce is a raw and painful subject in which touches very close to home to each and every one of us, me included. So not only do we have this text is also one that has been used and continually is used to justify evils in our world. It's used to encourage and tell people to stay in abusive relationships, especially women. This text has been used to justify socially isolating folks and excommunicating them. Again, especially women. This text continues to be used to reject and shame same-gender marriage as being unbiblical or unchristian. So knowing the breadth of this text, the weight, the pain, the suffering, both in our own personal lives and the way it's conveyed to others, what do we do with it? What do we make of Jesus' words? Well, the first thing we do is we study, we learn about the context of what's going on here. Context is everything. Marriage and divorce in Jesus' day is nothing like it is, or as we know it, today. This passage begins with Jesus being tested. The Pharisees aren't here to debate Jesus, to find out where he stands on the issue of divorce, because it was something that was discussed amongst the Pharisees. There was a group that believed divorce was only allowed in instances of one cheating on another. While there were other Jewish Pharisees that taught that a much more lenient one, that any discrepancy. And so they're not here for the debate. And they're using this subject of this intense subject. And uniquely, if we look throughout the book of Mark, that there's only one other place where divorce is mentioned. And it was when John was challenged by religious leaders also. And what was John's fate? He was beheaded because he called out King Herod for marrying a divorced woman. And so we have the subject divorce. And as I said, marriage and divorce is not the same today as it was back then. It was only one way to begin with. Only a man could divorce a woman. Basically, women were property of men. It was an economic transition that took place. It wasn't the lovey-dovey soulmate things that we understand marriage and love to be today. Not that that didn't exist, that just wasn't part of the reality. People married those who were available, those who had rich dowries, those women in which the man's kingdom could grow larger to extend his lineage and wealth, and to give security to women, because without marriage, women were left to their own. And likely, this was not something that one would desire. They were left to begging or prostitution to provide for themselves, and especially if they were divorced. So marriage was this economic transition, and when you put divorce in the picture, it completely destroys the woman. So we have reasons for divorce being that of adultery or just being rejected for a displeasing thing. And this, as I've said before up here, can be anything from a personality issue to being unable to bear children to not enjoying the way they cook their meals. It was very loose. The woman becomes rejected, becomes devastated, and left with nothing. So what does Jesus do? Jesus takes this question and he reframes it. After asking what Moses said and hearing that answer, Jesus responds, "It was because of your hard hearts that he wrote this commandment, that Moses wrote this commandment." Jesus rephrases the Pharisees' questions, pointing out their hard hearts, and speaks to God's true intention. As we see in verse 8, the two shall become one flesh. God's intention of marriage is that two will become one. A man leaves his parents and becomes one with the woman, standing on equal grounding. As Jesus then in the next verse says, "Therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate." This is God's intention, a healthy, partnered relationship, one that he desires for all people. Partnerships of one flesh, partnerships that are long and healthy. This is how Jesus reframes the Pharisees' question. Because this text is more about the vulnerability, I think, than the question of divorce. when we really look at what's going on here, our passage is more about vulnerability and our relationships with them. As we've heard over the past many Sundays, Mark has drawn attention time and time again, here and before, focusing Jesus' teaching on those who are vulnerable to the least of these. It's not about a legalism of what is right and wrong, what laws we have to keep and to what degree and the punishment for them. Jesus points out the limitations of these laws. He looks deeper into the nature of relationships. I think that's why we have the second part of our passage here this morning with this text of the children coming. Because there's no gap in here. Mark, typically, when moving from scene to scene, would say something along immediately or then or whatever. But people were there bringing these children to him to bless. Children, if you remember, as we talked about two Sundays ago, being the most vulnerable of society. Those who are without status, those who are without any sort of agency. Jesus draws them in. And as far as this text concerned, a lot of times we think when Jesus is talking about entering the kingdom of God as a child, that we enter in the innocence of a child. And while that's true, that isn't what our passage is talking about today. Our passage is pointing to those who are vulnerable. It's about those who are powerless, those who are gullible, those who are totally dependent on another. And this is what Jesus does. Jesus brings them to himself. He embraces them and he blesses them. Brace, embracing, a sign of affection, a sign, something that teachers just don't do. Jesus, at the risk of his own repercussions of status, embraces the child, hugs him, holds her, demonstrates what he is talking about, being lowering oneself and being a servant of all. And then Jesus lays his hand upon this child and blesses them all, blessing the lowest of the low. Brothers and sisters, this is God's calling for you and for me. It's all part of that great commission and great commandment. The great commission being that we go into all nations, creating disciples, baptizing, and teaching the good news of God. Following that great commandment to love God and to love one another as I have loved you. This is how Jesus shows that love. So we're invited to teach, to act out of Jesus' love that Jesus has given each and every one of us, to share what God is about, speaking truth and love to what the world calls quote-unquote biblical marriage. Because the biblical narrative of marriage that we hear in society today is one that is oriented around shame. Brothers and sisters, God is not in the shaming business. God is in the business of abundant love for all. Love that heals, love that supports, love that forgives, love that reconciles everyone unto God. That is the business God is about. Love. Love that forms a bond with each and every one of us, each and every one in the world. A bond that is unbreakable. Jesus embraces, Jesus blesses the divorcee, the ones in broken relationships, just like he blesses those vulnerable children. Jesus also embraces and blesses those who are in abusive relationships. Jesus blesses and embraces the isolated, those who are excommunicated by our society. Jesus embraces and blesses those who have been hated and scrutinized because they are in a same gender marriage or relationship. Jesus embraces and blesses. May we do the same. Amen.